One of the things I enjoy most when I get up in the morning is my first cup of coffee. Do you know this signal? Okay, you know if you're parents, right? It's, hold on, I need this first drop of God's goodness before I can answer any questions or fulfill any requests. It doesn't matter what time of year. It can be the coldest day of winter, which is wonderful, or the hottest morning on record. And yet that aroma and the warmth capture me in that moment. I feel like I'm in a Folgers commercial, living the jingle. The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. Coffee, I believe, is a good thing. And I really like when studies come out that support my opinion, don't you? All of us have daily pleasures because we're made to enjoy the things of creation. The writer of the book, Tish Harrison Warren, that we are engaging for this sermon series, writes these words: "When we enjoy God's creation, we reflect God Himself. God does not stoically pronounce creation good, like a disinterested manager checking off a quality checklist so he can clock out early. Listen to this. God delights in the perfect acoustics of ocean waves, swoons over the subtle intensity of dark chocolate, and glories in robin's eggs and peacock call." In other words, God enjoys God's own creation. And I know He expects us to as well. Coffee and chocolate, along with the sounds and signs of life in creation, are good things. Unfortunately, though, much of Christian history has been about condemning taking pleasure and sensuality, denying appetites, depriving oneself of the things that God calls good. Certain foods, alcohol, sex, have all at one time or another been relegated to categories of sin. This has led to the belief by some devotees that food is only to be that which is nutritionally pragmatic, not enjoyable. Sex is for procreation alone, not purely for enjoyment. Alcohol is bad, even in moderation. You can attest to that one in your tradition, right? Not Mark personally. But God made a lush garden on the earth complete with coffee and cocoa beans. Sex is not only for procreation, but is enjoyable. Otherwise, it would not feel good. And heck, Jesus drank wine with his dinner companions, even at the Last Supper. And he made barrels of it at a wedding in Cana. What the monks, nuns, and some of the early church ascetics were trying to live out, I think, was honorable, though. They were trying to point to the fact that one was to find their contentment without dependency on anything but a relationship with God. They were trying to live as close to Jesus' words from Matthew's gospel as they could. But despite this, they helped steer the church toward the idea that pure enjoyment of the things of creation and piety are mutually exclusive. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, I think we all carry a little baggage from those early church days. Every time I've shared with someone that I'm a home brewer as a pastor, there's a look of surprise on their face. You can do that? And yet I think there's also wisdom in Jesus' teachings and early church practice that would benefit us. We have gone the other extreme as a culture. As we recited in our prayer of confession, we overdrink, we overeat, we overconsume, and we think it's okay because we're seeking pleasure. But joy is something we often don't feel. Instead, when we do these things, we feel guilt, as if we abuse the bodies God has given us, and over time can sometimes pay the price for damaging these temples of the Spirit. Back to my coffee habit. Throughout the morning, as I drink my fifth and my sixth cup of coffee, the satisfaction seems to diminish. I shift away from a mindful savoring to a primitive survival mode. The desire for aroma and flavor of the fresh ground beans gives way to craving, and I dare say a dependency on caffeine. I just confess that before you. My goal is to have drunk all my daily dose by noon. That's how I rationalize all this. And then I come down off the caffeine the rest of the day. I used to caffeinate late into the afternoon back in my 20s, but I would find I'd get really jittery. Y'all get that? And my stomach would get a little upset, and I learned to limit my consumption. And yet, I always crave more. As our nation's prosperity increases, so do our waistlines. A study of obesity and taste buds, this is interesting, revealed when mice were made obese, their taste buds started sloughing away. They lost their ability to taste compared to their thinner counterparts. This has been extrapolated to humans as well. A researcher stated this: the blunting of taste may make it more difficult for obese individuals to adhere to certain diets. With a diminished sense of taste, people need stronger, more richly flavored food in order to enjoy it as much as someone with 25% more taste buds. Often that means more sugar and fat, more calories. Jesus teaches about enjoyment, I believe, and he lived it, but within moderation. And counter to what I have come to believe, enjoyment requires discipline. I enjoy my first two cups of coffee, but I really don't enjoy the third through the sixth. This is true, I believe, of alcohol and food, really any consumable pleasures that interact in the body. As a cliche goes, there is such a thing as too much of a good thing. But what is perhaps even more serious is the effect that overconsumption has on our spirits. As overindulgence erodes enjoyment, the unhealthy substitute takes over, addiction, and along with it, its unholy companions of worry, as we heard in the text, that leads even to depression. And this is not only addictions in food and drink. We are increasingly become a culture that no longer delights in the wonders of creation, but instead craves novelty in artificial things. Screen entertainment, envious online voyeurism, pornography. You may have heard that pediatricians are diagnosing an increasing number of children with depression. And the presumed cause is too much screen interaction. How can we take in the beauty of creation that refreshes our spirits and our souls as we were made as part of its tapestry if our eyes never leave the screen? How can our spirits be refreshed by the sounds of creation when we never take the earbuds out of our ears to listen? Yes, our souls are becoming aged and worn by those very things we believe will renew and refresh us. Harrison writes this: we have sinned and grown old and become dulled to the wonders around us. Neither Jesus nor the early church lived in a world filled with so much temptation to overindulge. But we do live in that world. We are forced to find the balance of enjoying without overindulging, of savoring God's good creation without abusing it by overconsuming or overengineering it. And so I wrestle with, where do we find the disciplined? Well, one place is right here, in worship together. Here we embrace the beauty of the lights of the candles and creation that stream through the windows. We enjoy the moments of silence. We sit in pews hewn from the wood of creation, the paraments before us, colors from creation, the banners before us, reflecting the creation outside, symbols of the church and creation and history before us on the table. We especially are mindful in the high seasons of Christmas and Easter. We sing with our natural, unperfected voices. We celebrate the Lord's Supper, symbolized here before us with cup and plate, to remember that God provides all we need, and it is good. In this space, we taste and see that the Lord is good. In our discipline of glorifying God, we simultaneously learn how to enjoy God. So it happens in this hour. But it's not just for this hour. In our church's Book of Confessions, which is our first part of our Constitution, one of the confessions, the larger Westminster Larger Catechism, poses is a question and answer format, as many of you may know a catechism is. The question is, what is the chief end of man? Excuse, it's archaic language, it could be humankind. The answer to that question, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Forever. Authentic enjoyment, holy enjoyment, is not possible without glorifying God. It is not possible without ascribing to God the glory of creation, the glory of our lives, the glory of coffee and chocolate, yes, and even alcohol, within moderation. It is about glorifying all that God has made, and that's where we find our discipline. That's where we find our balance. The satisfaction we find in body and soul through food and drink and sound and sight is from God, to be enjoyed and never taken for granted or abused. We find the ability to do this when we seek first that enjoyment with God. If we don't, we're destined for dissatisfaction. We find what we desire when we seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. I love that line. That's my favorite verse. Growing up, people said, what's your favorite biblical verse? I said, Matthew 6, 33 is my favorite. It defines my life. But I also like how other translations have put it. Listen to this one, the Message Bible by Eugene Peterson. Listen, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Seek God first. It takes discipline. Discipline of listening to the Spirit, discerning what brings you joy from what dulls your joy. Harrison again writes, there is a symbiotic relationship, cross-training, if you will, between the pleasures we find in gathered worship and those in her case, teacup, or in a warm blanket, or in the smell of baking bread. Many of us struggle all life to do this. Many of us miss the simple pleasures and instead focus on how our lives will be so much more satisfying when the stress of life's days are over, or maybe for the week, or maybe the span of our career. Then we'll finally be able to enjoy our life. I know many, though, in this room can attest to the fact this is not true. We can't wait for things to be over before we enjoy God forever. It starts now, wherever you are, in the ordinariness of your life. From that first cup of coffee that stirs your senses, to the howl of the night wind that settles you to sleep, as we glorify God for the beauty of creation and for the gift of Jesus Christ, for the renewal of life at each day. When we do these things, we learn to enjoy life a little more. Harrison again. Our God-given innate thirst for enjoyment and sensuousness is directed toward the one who alone can quench it, the God who we were made to enjoy forever. We are fortunate because Jesus made a way for us to enjoy God forever, to enjoy God every day until the day we see him face to face. So today, this week, eat, but put down the fork. Drink, but also put away the carafe or the bottle. Engage in the marvels of technology, but also shut off your devices and lift your eyes to the world around you. There is much, much, much more to life when we seek our enjoyment in God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.